What is the question for this one? We talked about this at the start, didn't we? What the question is for these things. And for me, the question for this one is, what the hell is MDR? And therefore, what the hell is XDR? I think is the other thing.
MDR and XDR are RARPs.
Okay, great.
So MDR stands for Managed Detection and Response. But we really have to go a little bit back, step downwards, so to say, to EDR, which is the Endpoint Detection and Response.
So would be an XDR solution a good starting point for companies who are not super deep into security solutions, like they have the basics, firewalls and all of that?
It's a natural way to start with the EDR and something that protects your identity. Microsoft, for example, there's the Defender for Identity, which is an on-premises security part that is really, really important because nearly all companies still have Active Directory.
EDR is Endpoint Detection and Response.
Exactly.
But that is the same acronym as Extended Detection and Response. So we've changed that to an X.
Besides all the AI and machine learning and so on and so on, there are always cases where you as a human have to check if the behavior is okay or not. Well, MDR and XDR are evolutions of EDR. So now everything is clear, right?
So we're back to TLAs again, aren't we? Sort of.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, okay. You know,
an extended three-letter acronym.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes,
very
I know.
Much.
It's good talking.
Genius. Okay. So MDR stands for Managed Detection and Response, but we really have to go a little bit back, step downwards, so to say, to EDR, which is the Endpoint Detection and Response. And EDR itself is an evolution of anti-malware scanning. In older solutions have classic pattern-based, signature-based anti-malware solution searching engines. So they are basically checking for every file. Is this file in a list of bad files? Yes or no? And if so, you won't be able to run it. If not, yeah, go for it. Problem is that today, I think on a daily basis, there are several thousand new malware samples every day. And there is basically no list on Earth that can be updated fast enough to have all of them inside. So what happens is that nowadays you use something called an Endpoint Detection and Response solution, which will not only check against that list of known bad files, but it will also check the behavior of the file, of the executable, of the document that you are opening and whatever. And it will then see, depending on what you're doing or what the executable is doing, if this is malicious behavior. And this is why it's called extended, because it's not only checking one thing at a time, it's also checking what happens after that. So let's say you get an email which contains a Word file, and for whatever reason, your macros are still enabled. You open that Word file, and then a PowerShell script gets started somewhere in the back. You don't see it as a user, but the PowerShell script then tries to connect to some kind of download server and get some malware to get an command and control.
So really, this is why this is slightly confusing, is the fact that again, with many things in IT, the terminology wise, they make the terminology maybe slightly more marketing centric than maybe it needs to be sometimes. So, for example, if we're looking at EDR is Endpoint Detection and Response.
Exactly.
But that is the same acronym as Extended Detection and Response. So we've changed that to an X, but it's still E is for extended, isn't it? So it should be the same. But also we then end up with, well, is the difference between Endpoint Detection and Response and Managed Detection and Response? So is that just somebody else does your endpoint detection and response?
Some kind of security provider who's specialized in analyzing what is happening on your environment. Nowadays, the EDR solutions have intelligence, so-called intelligence, in them already. But still, there are circumstances where you have to check what is really happening, because it's a computer. It's besides all the AI and machine learning and so on and so on, there are always cases where you as a human have to check if the behavior is okay or not. And I don't speak about the obvious ones, because the obvious ones are detected very, very good by the several solutions. But it's more on the this could be something level, or is this really bad behavior, or is it just an admin who's trying a new backup script or something like that? And those cases are when a human has to jump in, and most companies don't have enough people to do that on a daily basis or even 24/7.
Yeah. Okay. So again, for the layman's perspective then, so if we're thinking of, if we're going down to endpoint detection response, so not MDR, which is managed detection response, endpoint detection response, what's the difference between that and SIEM? Because a lot of people, or SIEM and SOAR, because there's security orchestration and automated response, which is SOAR.
Oh, perfect. You
and,
have it.
And SIEM as well, which you can do the acronym for. But essentially, what's the difference between those two? Because there's a lot of conflicting information about that sort of stuff if you look online.
Getting that right, I think it's security information and event monitoring. So I'm always confusing information and incident. So please forgive me if that's wrong right now. But a SIEM solution is basically a way for you to collect several security information sources and their alerts. So EDR could be one of them. And with a modern system, an EDR solution will put many, many information into your SIEM system. But that's not all. Into a SIEM system, you can also feed in your information from your firewalls, from your switches, from your Windows security logs or Linux security logs, whatever is needed. Everything will be collected in there. And then, depending on the SIEM system you have, you can create dashboards, you can create automated reactions. This is where SOAR comes in, because the SOAR, as you said, it's an automation and reaction tool that can be combined with a SIEM solution. So let's say we have a SIEM and we have connected our EDR solution and we have connected a firewall and a switch. Okay, so your device is connected via LAN cable and the EDR solution detects malicious things on the device. That information, that alert goes up to the SIEM solution. And in the SIEM solution, there's a connection to the SOAR and a use case that's called bad behavior on a system cut from network. So what will happen then is that the SOAR solution will see, oh, there's an alert and I have an automation for that. And then it can go and run scripts against the firewall or the switch to cut off the internet access or network access from that port. So with this, you get an automated security, which will help really protect your environment, because no human being can act as fast as that automation.
Absolutely. But what we're saying here is the fact that not everybody needs a SOAR system on that basis, but actually SIEM and EDR, MDR, they are essentially, they're doing two different things. One of them is looking at the endpoint, the desktop, users' machines and how they utilize their systems. And the other SIEM element of it is more looking about servers, infrastructure, storage arrays, firewalls. Yeah. So it's a little bit more back office.
Information together. An EDR solution can also be deployed to servers. In our projects, we deploy the same EDR solution to servers, to clients, to mobile phones. So basically everywhere users can connect to. The SIEM solution then puts in the other security things, like if you have a proxy solution in place or, as I said, firewalls, stuff like that. But I would say before you go for an EDR solution and a SIEM, you should really take a look on XDR, because the X really has a meaning. the extended stands for getting more view into, for example, your email system, into your identity system. Because those are also very, very important and valuable information sources for your security alerts. And if you have an XDR system, you have the intelligence that is laying in the EDR, but it's extended to those other sources already and automatically. And what it can do is detect threats no matter where they come from or see where they started. So let's say you have an incident on your device and you get that from an email. What can happen in an automated XDR solution is that the system detects, oh, there's something bad happening on Tony's PC. It came from an email, that's the EDR part, and then the X jumps in and says, okay, let's block that email for all the other users also.
So would be an XDR solution a good starting point for companies who are not super deep into security solutions, like they have the basics, firewalls and all of that? Would you recommend starting with an XDR or starting with an EDR, or what would be your solution, like balancing cost and effectiveness and security?
Depending on which kind of solution you or which vendor you take, it's a natural way to start with the EDR and something that protects your identity. Let's say from Microsoft, for example, there's the Defender for Identity, which is an on-premises security part that is really, really important because nearly all companies still have Active Directory. And getting the endpoint secured is also very, very important. So get that done, get basic email security done, and then bring it together somewhere. So it's really check what is your largest attack surface. If you have application allow listing on every device, you have no local admins and basically no internet access, then you can start with the email part, for example. But if you are like most companies where your devices are not yet where they should be, then starting with the EDR part, I think, would be beneficial the most.
So, I mean, it is essentially associated with productivity level systems as well, like Office 365. So
absolutely.
I see that a lot in the fact that even with the systems that we run within the business, there are points whereby we're being protected in a good way, actually, from elements running outside the business that is completely invisible to me. I've talked about it on previous podcasts. So this is sort of like integrated within Office 365. Are there other services outside of Office 365 that do this as well? Or is this sort of Microsoft-centric? Mm.
I think it's a very, very good fit. But there are other solutions as well. There are other large competitors who also try to get that whole XDR componentization. Some are there already, some are not. And I don't know if you remember in the past, one would always say, yeah, we have to get best of breed for everything, for every single solution. And I think that should be overthought because oftentimes when that happened, we had several solutions which were perfect in nearly 100% of their special case, but the combination and the collaboration between those tools was very, very hard and very work intensive to keep on running, because if you have seven solutions that all update in different time schedules and so on, you always have to make sure that everything is working together. And if you have one vendor who brings in most of the parts, they will do the work for you. That doesn't free you from getting a SIEM solution, getting a SOAR solution.
Yeah. So is anti-phishing no longer a thing? Is that essentially been taken over by EDR, drug MDR, because of the fact that they provide that as part of the service?
It's one part of it.
Yeah, but it's not a replacement for, I suppose, one of the other things that we sort of assume is you. Let's say, for example, with antivirus software, you would put the antivirus software on the computer and you would kind of think, oh, well, that's it, I'm done now. But actually, you still need to kind of train your users on the use of this sort of stuff, don't you? Because this isn't something you can turn on and expect your users to adopt or to understand what's the right thing to do. If they get a phishing email, then chances are they still need to think, like, this is a threat, I need to tell somebody, rather than actually thinking, oh, don't worry, my MDR solution is going to fix it for me.
That would be a very bad decision. If you have a good XDR solution, users will have an easy possibility to report those mails, maybe even integrated into the email system, Outlook or whatever. And your security team then can easily check that and release the email if it's okay, or block it completely if needed. So yes, users still need to know what to do, but they don't have to care if it's an AV solution or an EDR, an XDR, MDR. That's nothing that the users should be even knowing, I think, because they have to work on their stuff and where their expertise is. The security expertise is normally not in the default user realm, I would say.
Yeah.
And if you have a good solution, they will have a call here or there by the IT team asking them, hey, did you really log in from Singapore this weekend? No, that should be blocked automatically, to be honest. But yeah, really getting those requests. I once was at a conference. This was really cool. It was a PowerShell conference.
Ah, the irony.
There was a session on PowerShell and security and Mimikatz. Mimikatz, a well-known tool for stealing credentials on Windows. And we had one person from Microsoft also in the call or in the session. And he was doing things, and mid-session his phone rang. And he said, oh, this was my IT security team. They were asking, what are you doing there? You're not supposed to do that. So, and it was within minutes that they caught that up, because they had the systems in place to really raise that level of alert to the right people, who then would contact him directly and say, is this you, or is there something bad happening?
Yeah. And that's what the source stuff is about as well, isn't it? It's about sort of like, if this happens, then do that. It's a sort of, it's automation, exactly, based upon specific selection of criteria. So
yes,
like you say, if someone happens to be in a different country in the correct time zone, but to a certain extent they've been there before, then maybe it's a ask the question, don't do anything dramatic. But if somebody's in a country they've never been to before at 3 o'clock in the morning and logging in from a completely different machine, then you disconnect.
Block.
So you can really control the individual levels depending on how critical you think the attack's going to be.
Yeah. And you can build up pretty impressive things if you have the right definition of use cases. Nowadays, even with applications, so let's say you have an SAP running, and you don't only do the availability monitoring for the basic service, but also you can add in your actions that are done in SAP to the CM solution, which then can run use cases. So you can even detect if there was some malicious email coming in to a controller who then would change the payout information in SAP for a rogue partner anyway. So depending on the level of integration, you can have really, really good insight to what is happening in your environment, and then raise those alerts if something is not as it's supposed to be.
Okay, quite interesting, isn't it? So, I mean, I think the key element for me here is this is why we talk about a layered defense, isn't it?
Absolutely.
End of the day, there's multiple different layers. If you want, if you want full protection, you have to do more than one layer. But there are even greater layers if you want to go that step further and provide yourself with even better security, SOAR being a good example.
Depending on the regulations that you have to follow, you're being forced to do that. It really depends on which kind of industry or organization type you are. But still, and this I think is really, really important also, an EDR or XDR solution is not everything. This is still the case that you have to do the basics right. You still have to forbid local admin rights. You still have to check that you patch regularly, update everything as soon as possible, have a client management to see what's happening on those devices. This, as you said, is a layered approach, but you have to have the groundwork done, or at least you have to start working on the groundwork when you implement the EDR solution to have I think to increase your level in a short time, but then you still have to do the stuff below, because otherwise you will have a solution that will alert you all the time. And then you get that thing that's called alert fatigue, which is a really, really bad thing, because then somebody can't decide if this is now a real alert or is the new guy that is running a Bitcoin miner on the machine, because I'm doing new business stuff or something like that.
Wow. No, not good. But okay, no. This is changing rapidly, isn't it? And I've looked at the Microsoft, to use Microsoft as an example again, just because of the fact that I've had a little bit of experience. Looking at Microsoft Defender, they almost release different behavioral analysis, threat intelligence, behavior profiling elements for different components as they're moving forward. So they started off doing email. They've now moved on to doing OneDrive, Active Directory. They're now moving on to do other elements as well, aren't they? It's almost like they're adding in additional components as they move forward.
Absolutely.
So it's evolving all the time.
It is absolutely evolving, and it's really, really important to focus also on the identity part, because nowadays we often have different systems, even in different cloud solutions like AWS, Google, Azure, and so on. And you still have to maintain a view on your complete environment. So it's really important to choose an XDR or SIEM solution which can work together with all of those. And also do things like permissions management and see, okay, if there's a user, an admin user in AWS who's doing strange things, that should be alerting also and not completely separate. So nowadays you really have to check what is in my environment, and environment really stands for what are we using. This goes from cloud to local to on-prem to SaaS applications like a Dropbox. Is everybody allowed to use Dropbox? And if so, what are they allowed to do? Maybe marketing needs to do more work on Facebook than all the other users. And all that stuff can be implemented. And when you go to the infrastructure side of the cloud, you can have extra protection for your containers, for example, because what are containers? They are infrastructure. You have to check, is there a secure container source for my image? What's happening inside the container? Do I have any strange communication behaviors that are suddenly showing up? So everything that you deploy, everything that you use, you also have to secure. And you also always have to think, how do I protect it? And follow the principles of zero trust, like assume breach, always verify, and least privilege. So check every time who's accessing what, are they allowed to do that, and protect your systems as if the attacker would also be in your system.
Mm.
And with all of that, a good solution can help you to achieve that.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. What's the future, do you think, with regard to this sort of stuff? Because at the end of the day, I think we've come a long way from antivirus software, haven't we?
Currently, the big thing is AI everywhere, and this doesn't stop for security. There are very good-looking examples of how AI or machine learning systems can help there, because they are pretty good in detecting patterns.
Yeah.
And they are pretty good in looking at databases, basically. So what AI, I think, can do in the foreseeable future is help analyze things like what kind of devices are involved in that incident, and it can check the database so you don't have to do it manually with your scripting or your query language, stuff like that, or help maybe analyzing malware. What does it do? So you don't have to do it manually. I think that is a thing that will happen. Will be interesting to see how expensive it is. And still, it's very, very important. We still need human people to oversee that, because it's still a computer and it's not as intelligent as it sounds all the time. I think we had that in one of the last episodes. So still you need to understand what that thing is doing and if the result that it's giving to you is somewhere in the space of being possible at all. Yeah, and then focusing on identity, really getting your identity, getting multi-factor, la, 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 la. We talked about that in the past. But
and if I understood you correctly, then you would rather prefer a good solution that's integrated than four best of breed solutions. Absolutely. Where you have to bridge the solutions and make sure that everything is working and all of that.
Absolutely.
Yes. And but I suppose that solution has to fit with, I think a lot of people sort of go down one specific route, maybe to do with their productivity services, but a very different route to their servers and a very different route to their machinery systems. So you need something that will cover everything as well. So, and that in its own right is a challenge, I would wager.
It is a challenge, but there are vendors that really do this very, very well and that always keep on innovating there also to make it easier, to make it more understandable. And to really get all the platforms in.
So I suppose at this point, what we're really saying is strength and depth. You need a tiered, what's the word? We need tiered threat protection. We need to be able to think about our endpoints in a slightly different way to the way that we traditionally maybe thought about our servers and our internal infrastructure. But it does appear that there's loads of tools out there to allow us to do it. So it certainly sounds from what you described like the marketplace is full of some really clever technology to allow us to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. As you said, we need that layered approach, call it onion approach. We have several layers and because then when you have one hole somewhere, the next layer can take it. And in the end, the amount of acronyms doesn't really count. It's really a solution that needs to fit you and needs to fulfill your needs. But your people have to be able to work with it. So go with a solution that is integrated. That's my tip. Go with a solution that's integrated rather than having several ones where you need experts in seven systems. Because, yeah, dealing with seven things needs a lot of time and effort.
So I'm going to say it's like an onion. So that means if you get attacked, it makes you cry. Is that how it works? I don't.
Yeah, but the attacker has to peel off everything, and you know what makes you cry with cutting an onion is this small thin thing between the layers. And if they pouch that, they will cry.
Can we do a cooking podcast at some point? Let's do a cooking podcast. That'd be great.
Yes,
that's a much better option. We'll